Sometimes the days just seem to come too fast. It's already Thursday. Thursday, November the 9th. Incredible. Sometimes I wish things would just slow down a little bit. Well, that's what I want to do right now. I just need to slow down a little bit. I need to focus my heart and attention with you in God's Word. And maybe things will take on a proper pace. With a little time here. Hey, my name's Hunter. This is the Daily Radio Bible, and we're about to do what we do every day. We're going to take some time, hopefully some slower time, in God's Word, and we're going to let God's Word take its slow and necessary time on us. You know how we need that, no doubt about that. Today we are in the book of Job, chapter 34, and then we go back to 1 Corinthians, chapters 4 through 6. We're reading through the New Living Translation. Let's jump right in. Job chapter 34. Elihu accuses Job of arrogance. Then Elihu said, "Listen to me, you wise men. Pay attention, you who have knowledge." Job said, "The ear tests the words it hears, just as the mouth distinguishes between foods. So let us discern for ourselves what is right. Let us learn together what is good." For Job also said, "I am innocent. But God has taken away my rights. I am innocent, but they call me a liar. My suffering is incurable, though I have not sinned. Tell me, has there ever been a man like Job with this thirst for irreverent talk? He chooses evil people as companions. He spends his time with wicked men. He has even said, 'Why waste time trying to please God?' Listen to me, you who have understanding. Everyone knows that God doesn't sin. The Almighty can do no wrong. He repays people according to their deeds. He treats people as they deserve. Truly, God will not do wrong. The Almighty will not twist justice. Did someone else put the world in his care? Who set the world in place? If God were to take back his spirit and withdraw his breath, all life would cease and humanity would turn again to dust. Now listen to me if you are wise. Pay attention to what I say. Could God govern if he hated justice? Are you going to condemn the Almighty Judge? For he says to kings, 'You are wicked,' and to nobles, 'You are unjust.' He doesn't care how great a person may be, and he pays no more attention to the rich than to the poor. He made them all. In a moment they die. In the middle of the night they pass away. The mighty are removed without a human hand. For God watches how people live. He sees everything they do. No darkness is thick enough to hide the wicked from his eyes. We don't set the time when we will come before God in judgment. He brings the mighty to ruin without asking anyone, and he sets up others in their place. He knows what they do, and in the night he overturns and destroys them. He strikes them down because they are wicked, doing it openly for all to see. For they turned away from following him, and they have no respect for any of his ways. They cause the poor to cry out, catching God's attention. He hears the cries of the needy. But if he chooses to remain quiet, who can criticize him? When he hides his face, no one can find him, whether an individual or a nation. He prevents the godless from ruling, so they cannot be a snare to the people. Why don't people say to God, 'I have sinned, but I will sin no more'? Or, 'I don't know what evil I have done. Tell me, if I have done wrong, I will stop at once.' Must God tailor his justice to your demands? But you have rejected him. The choice is yours, not mine. Go ahead, share your wisdom with us. After all, bright people will tell me, and wise people will hear me say, 'Job speaks out of ignorance. His words lack insight.' Job, you deserve the maximum penalty for the wicked way you have talked, for you have added rebellion to your sin. You show no respect, and you speak many angry words against God." 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul's relationship with the Corinthians. So look at Apollos and me as mere servants of Christ who have been put in charge of explaining God's mysteries. Now, a person who is put in charge as a manager must be faithful. As for me, it matters very little how I might be evaluated by you or any human authority. I don't even trust my own judgment on this point. My conscience is clear, but that doesn't prove I'm right. It is the Lord himself who will examine me and decide. So don't make judgments about anyone ahead of time. before the Lord returns, for he will bring our darkest secrets to light and will reveal our private motives. Then God will give to each one whatever praise is due. Dear brothers and sisters, I have used Apollos and myself to illustrate what I've been saying. If you pay attention to what I have quoted from the Scriptures, you won't be proud of one of your leaders at the expense of another. For what gives you the right to make such a judgment? What do you have that God hasn't given you? And if everything you have is from God, why boast as though it were not a gift? You think you already have everything you need. You think you are already rich. You have begun to reign in God's kingdom without us. I wish you really were reigning already, for then we would be reigning with you. Instead, I sometimes think God has put us apostles on display, like prisoners of war at the end of a victor's parade, condemned to die. We have become a spectacle to the entire world, to people and angels alike. Our dedication to Christ makes us look like fools. But you claim to be so wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are so powerful. You are honored, but we are ridiculed. Even now we go hungry and thirsty, and we don't have enough clothes to keep warm. We are often beaten and have no home. We work wearily with our own hands to earn our living. We bless those who curse us. We are patient with those who abuse us. We appeal gently when evil things are said about us. Yet we are treated like the world's garbage, like everybody's trash, right up to the present moment. I'm not writing these things to shame you, but to warn you as my beloved children. For even if you had 10,000 others to teach you about Christ, you have only one spiritual father, for I became your father in Christ when I preached the good news to you. So I urge you to imitate me. That's why I have sent Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord. He will remind you how I followed Christ Jesus, just as I teach in all the churches wherever I go. Some of you have become arrogant, thinking I will not visit you again. But I will come, and soon, if the Lord lets me, and then I'll find out whether those arrogant people just give pretentious speeches or whether they really have God's power. For the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It is living by God's power. Which do you choose? Should I come with a rod to punish you, or should I come with love and a gentle spirit? 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I can hardly believe the report about the sexual immorality going on among you, something that even pagans don't do. I am told that a man in your church is living in sin with his stepmother. You are so proud of yourselves. But you should be mourning in sorrow and shame, and you should remove this man from your fellowship. Even though I am not with you in person, I am with you in spirit. And as though I were there, I have already passed judgment on this man. In the name of the Lord Jesus, you must call a meeting of the church. I will be present with you in spirit, and so will the power of our Lord Jesus. Then you must throw this man out and hand him over to Satan, so that his sinful nature will be destroyed, and he himself will be saved on the day the Lord returns. Your boasting about this is terrible. Don't you realize that this sin is like a little yeast that spreads through the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast by removing this wicked person from among you. Then you will be like a fresh batch of dough made without yeast, which is what you really are. Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us, so let us celebrate the festival, not with the old bread of wickedness and evil, but with the new bread of sincerity and truth. When I wrote to you before, I told you not to associate with people who indulge in sexual sin. But I wasn't talking about unbelievers who indulge in sexual sin, or are greedy, or cheat people, or worship idols. You would have to leave this world to avoid people like that. I mean that you are not to associate with anyone who claims to be a believer, yet indulges in sexual sin, or is greedy, or worships idols, or is abusive, or is a drunkard, or cheats people. Don't even eat with such people. It isn't my responsibility to judge outsiders, but it certainly is your responsibility to judge those inside the church who are sinning. God will judge those on the outside, but as the Scriptures say, you must remove the evil person from among you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. When one of you is in a dispute with another believer, how dare you file a lawsuit and ask a secular court to decide the matter instead of taking it to other believers? Don't you realize that someday we believers will judge the world? And since you are going to judge the world, can't you decide even these little things among yourselves? Don't you realize that we will judge angels? So you should surely be able to resolve ordinary disputes in this life. If you have legal disputes about such matters, why go to outside judges who are not respected by the church? I'm saying this to shame you. Isn't there anyone in all the church who is wise enough to decide these issues? But instead, one believer sues another, right in front of unbelievers. Even to have such lawsuits with one another is a defeat for you. Why not just accept the injustice and leave it at that? Why not let yourselves be cheated? Instead, you yourselves are the ones who do wrong and cheat even your fellow believers. Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin, or who worship idols, or commit adultery, or are male prostitutes, or practice homosexuality, or are thieves, or greedy people, or drunkards, or abusive, or cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. Some of you were once like that, but you were cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You say, I am allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. And even though I am allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. You say, food was made for the stomach and stomach for the food. This is true, though someday God will do away with both of them. But you can't say that our bodies were made for sexual immorality. They were made for the Lord, and the Lord cares about our bodies. And God will raise us from the dead by his power, just as he raised our Lord from the dead. Don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? Should a man take his body, which is part of Christ, and join it to a prostitute? Never. And don't you realize that if a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her? For the scriptures say, the two are united into one. But the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does, for sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. And now may the one who has paid the highest price for us, for our bodies, for our souls, may he give blessing to the reading of this word. Amen. What is our only hope in life and death? That's one of the first questions in many catechisms. And the answer is this, that we are not our own, but belong to God. Our reading ends with this very word in chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. As such, we determine to give up our right to determine right and wrong. So whether it's sexual sin, or legal matters, lawsuits, whatever the crisis is that we're going through, we have come to realize this fundamental truth that I'm not my own, that I belong to God. Our freedom in Christ doesn't mean autonomy or abolition from all restraint on the self. No, it means we are free in Christ. He has freed us in him. To the extent that we live in him is the extent to which we will be free. As we do that, we will resemble our Father's heart in this world, and we will paradoxically be more of us. We will be more of who we are in him. You will become more of you as you live more in him. The first question in this catechism is, what is our only hope in life and death? And the answer is that we are not our own, but belong to God. When we live in him, we show off our family resemblance, and we become more of ourselves. And that, my friend, is my heart's desire. That's what Paul's desire is too. He's He's running us through a catechism here, if you will. He's reminding us of that first question. What is your only hope in life and death? Christian, the answer is that you're not your own, but you belong to God. Marvelous thought. And the prayer of my own heart today is that I will live in the light of who I am in Him. That's a prayer that I have for my family too, for my wife, my daughters, my son. And that's a prayer that I have for you. May it be so. Well, dailyradiobible.com, that's our home base out here in the interwebs, and it is always such a blessing to hear from you, to find out a little bit about you, who you are, where you're from, how you stumbled upon this podcast. I noticed just as I finished today's podcast that I got a message from a friend in Iowa, to Brenda Kearns. Thanks so much for writing in, and what an honor it is, Brenda, to be on this journey with you. Hey, it's always great to hear from you. Next time you got a moment, take it and let a brother know. I get so encouraged by seeing how God is using this time that we share together each day to remind us of who we belong, to whom we belong, and to remind us more about who we are. We're His. Hey, one thing I'd love for you to do sometime today, maybe, is to share this app with a friend. There are so many people out there that are hungry for the Word of God, and, well, we have something here. We've got a community, and we have this shared experience in the Word, and I would love for that to be an encouragement in as many people's lives as possible. I know that the Word of God is powerful, and it begins something new in us when we begin to respond to Him. So let's share that blessing with others. I'd also love for you to join us on our email list. We send this email out about once a month, and we'll have one out in the month of December, no doubt, and we'd love for you to receive that. Well, hey, my friends, we've done it again. We have spent another day in the Bible, and I plan on being back here again tomorrow to do the same thing. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, I'll be here. Until that time, let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let His joy be our strength. And let's remember this, that you are loved. No doubt about it. All righty, I'll talk to you again tomorrow. You take care. Bye-bye. Thank you.